In Carthage. In accordance with Mercury's bidding, and the universal laws of hospitality besides, Dido and her court welcomed Aeneas and his party with great ceremony and respect. The city of Carthage was not yet half completed, but there were walls enough, palace enough, servants enough, food, wine, and grandeur enough to honour the Trojans with a sumptuous dinner. In return, Aeneas entranced his hosts with the story of the fall of Troy. None had ever heard of such astonishing feats of arms, courage, and betrayal. It was noticeable to the court, and to Dido's sister Anna especially, that not for one moment did the queen take her eyes off the guest of honour. Indeed, Anna thought to herself, he was as shiningly beautiful as any man had any right to be. Naturally enough, Aeneas told the story from the point of view of Troy and the house of Priam. He dwelt on the cruelty of Achilles, dragging the great Hector's body 3 times around the city walls, the cruel deceit of Ulysses in devising the colossal wooden horse that the people of Troy had so gladly and foolishly taken into their city, the savagery of the Greeks as they ransacked, raped, slaughtered, and enslaved. Aeneas described how, in the madness and horror of the last hours of the war, he had carried his lame father Anchises and his son Ascanius to the safety of a grove of cypresses outside the city. Only when they had reached this refuge did he realize that Creusa, his wife, whom he had believed to be following behind, was nowhere to be seen. He returned to the hell of the burning city, calling out her name, his voice drowned by the roar of flames. In the end, it was not his wife he found, but her ghost. "I am not fated to travel with you," the shade told him. "Your destiny lies to the west, the Hesperian lands, washed by the waters of the Tiber, that take the name of Italus. That is where you must go." Italus, from whom comes the name Italy, was a legendary king of what we would now call Calabria. "A new queen awaits you there. But do not weep for me, son of Venus. Only care for Ascanius, our beloved son. Look into his eyes and see me. That is all I ask. Look into his eyes and see me." And so saying, the spirit faded.
"He has had a wife already, and he will find a new one in Italy,"
whispered Dido to her sister, her face pale. Anna nudged her. "Ah, but that doesn't mean he can't have a second in between, now does it?"